Good afternoon, everyone. We're certainly thankful for all of those who were able to be here this afternoon to study another portion of God's Word and to worship Him. I'd like to talk for a short time this afternoon about exceeding abundantly. This is something I think is important for us to look at and to remind ourselves. Sometimes I think this particular place that we live, in the time in history in which we live, sometimes I'm not sure if you do, but I often run into people who feel a little bit sorry for themselves and think they don't quite have all that they want or should have. And we look around about us and we realize that in this country at this point in time that you don't have to have a very good job or a very high position in a company or wealth to have a living that's a lot more comfortable than most people in the world today have, and certainly more than people in history have ever been able to enjoy. And sometimes I think this causes us to be a little bit lax in appreciating all the things that God has done for us and all the blessings that He has given us and blessings that He has extended to mankind that mankind doesn't take advantage of. And that's what we're going to look at for a short time this afternoon and see what we can learn about this. Our text comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Many times we see people like to gauge their success in life or their happiness in life by the physical possessions that they have, the quality of their home, the quantity of money and goods that they have. And when we read this scripture, we realize that all those things pale in comparison to the things that God has done for us. As Paul writes to the Ephesians here, he says that that God has given us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we realize that, again, we have it pretty good in this country. Certainly there are always things that mankind as a rule seems to be a creature that's such that once he has what he wants more or different. And often we find people are pretty hard to please. It even gets as bad as people who are hungry and looking for help may turn down the food that's offered to them because it's not what they wanted to eat. And even sometimes the hungry become finicky eaters, and it's really absurd with what goes on in the world, but it happens. And again, we're thinking more about certainly. Talking about the scriptures in spiritual terms, but again, I think it helps us to understand how we need to place value in these things more so than the physical goods and the physical things that we have, because we know the scriptures tell us all those things are going to pass away. One day Jesus is going to come, the day of judgment will be here, and everything that's in the earth will be destroyed with a fervent heat that hasn't already returned to the dust of the earth. As we know that regardless of what man makes, it nothing lasts forever. And certainly when when God comes and the earth is destroyed, it will all be gone. And so these are things that we know that aren't lasting, that we should put our stock and our faith in the things that we know will endure forever. And certainly these are the Christian blessings that Paul is talking about here. And we realize that in the early church, and when Jesus, before the church was established, when Jesus was here teaching, this is why we see that so many of the people that clung to the things that Jesus said were the poor, the oppressed, the infirmed, whether they be have diseases or handicaps of different kinds. These are the people that seem to be drawn more to Jesus' message than anything else, because His message offered them something they couldn't get anywhere else. And that was a hope of a home in heaven where all their pain would be gone, where all their frustration and sorrow would be washed away or wiped away. And this was something that was very alluring to them, and it's harder and harder to get people to accept that kind of thing today. If you're sick, there's still many diseases that can't be cured, but there's all kind of medications and treatments that can help people when they're sick, and everybody lives in kind of a comfort zone, so to speak, and they don't really think about the things that God has done for them. And in we saw in our scripture here, our text, Paul encourages the Ephesians and all Christians who read these words to grasp the things that he's trying to say and understand, again, the things that God has provided for all men to take advantage of. And I was trying to think of a way to explain this. And I thought about the idea of two men that are hired for the same job. A guy goes out and he hires two different people, but he only has one position to fill. And he's going to give them a two-week probation period and watch how they work and the things that they do. And this will decide who gets the job and who doesn't. And most of us, I'm sure, that are older have worked many different places and have encountered many different people. There's people who are diligent about their jobs, and there's people who you wonder how they keep their job because all they do is goof off and spend half their time doing something that they're not being paid to do. And think about these two men. One would be one who was a diligent worker, who always did the best he could, who made mistakes but admitted his mistakes and tried to learn from them, and did the best he could to finish the jobs or the tasks that he was assigned to, and did everything that he was told to do the way that he was told to do it. The other man would be one who was half-hearted about the way he approached his work, often goofed off, doesn't take the time to do the job right, and doesn't admit when he makes mistakes, and tries to make up for his shortcomings by being everybody's friend or by kissing up or I think one of the terms that's used is sucking up to the boss and trying to be on everybody's good side and try to let his personality win over the work that he does. It's not hard to figure out that at the end of this probation period, the one who was diligent and did the work certainly should be the one that received the job and not only the pay for the weeks that he had worked, but a secure position with the company. And we can also see where it would be easy for the boss or the employer to tell the man that wasn't hired that they may have made a position for him if he was willing to work as hard as the other one. But as we see in life many times, people try to get by with doing as little as they possibly can. And these are the people who may get by for a while, but sooner or later, just as Dennis talked about lying this morning, sooner or later it'll catch up with you. And if we apply this idea to the idea of being a Christian, and being a Christian is a job. It really is a job when you think about it. It's a job that we have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We never get a day off or a vacation. And it's something that we should desire to do and something that we want to do because we want to go to heaven. And we realize that the vacation, so to speak, that we get at the end of this life on earth, the things that we've suffered, the things that we've had to do, are paid off with a reward that's much more valuable than anything that we can obtain in this life, any kind of physical possessions that we can get. Jesus said, what would you have if you gained the whole world and lost your soul? So we know this is very important for us. And we also realize that being a Christian, or this thing of being a Christian is a job, so to speak. Once we are old enough, we reach the age of accountability, as it's called, and we realize right from wrong, that job is open to us. Now, whether or not we accept the job is something that we have to do of our own free will. And if we choose not to accept it, we can choose not to work at all, or we could be like the lazy worker that we discussed, who goes about doing things half-heartedly. And again, this brings into the idea a lot of people who claim to be Christians or claim to be religious and don't live up to the things that they boast that they are. And these are the people that we realize that when Jesus comes again, he's going to say, they're going to be the ones that say, we did all these things for you. And he's going to say, I never knew you, because they didn't take the time to learn the scriptures and take advantage of the blessings that God extends to us. And that's one of the blessings that he gives us is the scriptures, the New Testament. We can go in there. We can apply any situation in life. We can put it up to the scriptures and we can figure it out what it is that God wants us to do and what he wants us not to do. And we can adjust our lives and live accordingly. And if we choose to do that and be good Christians, we're going to get to go to heaven. And if we don't, we're going to have to accept the reward that we're going to receive for that, which we know is an eternity in torment. And when we boil it down like that, and it's really just that simple. And that's what the scriptures teach us. If we serve God and do that to the best of our ability, we're going to receive a reward in heaven. And anything else that we fail to do, we're going to receive punishment for it. There's no other way around it. There's no other option that we have. And when people realize that, I think, and set their sights on going to heaven, because anyone who realizes that you're going to go one place or another and wouldn't want to work towards going to heaven, you got to wonder what that person's mindset is and what it is that they're thinking. And we realize also that that when we use our free will to decide to serve God, that He doesn't just lay out the rules and demand that we follow them. He wants us to come to Him of His own free will. And many times this is the undoing of most people, because their will isn't strong enough to do the things that God would have them to do. They get pulled away by the attractions and things of the world, or by other people who want them to come and do the things that they do, and talk them out of being Christians, or tempt them at every opportunity not to do the things that we should do as Christians. So we realize our free will determines what action, if any, we're going to take in order to please God. And again, if we decide not to take action, we've made a choice to suffer the consequences. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, or if they realize it, they don't like to think about it. But it's something that every man and woman that lives upon the earth and has the ability to understand the Word of God is going to have to stand before Jesus on the Day of Judgment, and they're going to have to accept whatever faith that their eternal life has for them. And I think if people realize that, we'd see a lot more people interested in the Scriptures and trying to find out what they needed to do to please God. But most people put it off, or they just try not to think about it. And again, this will be their undoing. Some of the Scriptures that we're going to look at this afternoon are going to point out to us how God provides for us an abundance of blessings, and how that if we use them properly, we can fulfill our task of being good Christians here upon the earth and having a chance of obtaining a home in heaven. The next scripture we're going to look at is Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Here we see that the only way that we have a chance of going to heaven is through Jesus. We can't make up our own way. We can't decide that we're going to do certain things for God and not do certain things and think that we're going to have a chance of going to heaven. There's a lot of people in the world who think that, but that's not the way it is. That's not the way it's going to be. We have to go. The only way that we have a chance of going to heaven is through Jesus on His terms. That's why He came and taught the things that He taught, and that's why He died, because that was the plan that God had for man, and it's not up to man to change that. And many people, again, don't accept that, or they think they can make up their own way to please God. And, you know, I'm sure you've known people or seen people who say they talk with God. They go sit in a park on a bench for a while and talk to God, or their way of worshiping God is going out fishing and being with nature. And everybody will come up with any number of excuses to think that they're doing something spiritual. But in the end, we realize we have to do things in the way that God has instructed for us to do, and that's the only sacrifice He's going to find acceptable. That's why Jesus was an acceptable sacrifice for our sins, because Jesus did everything to the letter of the law and lived the way that God wanted Him to live, and that's why His sacrifice on the cross was acceptable to God. We realize this. We also realize that without Jesus, we're helpless. There's no way that we would have any way of getting to God if it wasn't for Jesus. As those who are not born into the Jewish faith, we realize that if Jesus hadn't come yet, if we were still living in a world where the Messiah hadn't been sent to earth, we wouldn't have a chance, because I don't believe any of us here were born into the Jewish faith. And we realize under the old law, that was what made you a child of God. But under the New Testament, you have to become a Christian, and you do that, and you can only do that through Jesus. Isaiah 55, beginning of verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. We see in this passage from Isaiah, talking about the love that God has for us and the fact that he was willing to extend pardon to us, a way for us to achieve forgiveness of our sins, again through Jesus, and by giving all men a chance of everlasting life. Because until Jesus came, the only way you had to be a child of God was to be born into the Jewish race. And now through Jesus, he extends to every person that lives upon the earth and reaches the age of understanding, he extends to them a chance of everlasting life. And not only that, if we become a Christian and make mistakes, he still extends to us a way to be pardoned for the things that we've done wrong. And we realize that this is something that we don't deserve. That's why it's called grace or unmerited favor. We certainly don't deserve what Jesus did for us. We look at the history of man and the atrocities that man has committed throughout history against God and they continue to commit unto this day, we certainly don't deserve the love that God has for us, but yet he does. He gives us a chance to make things right with him, and if we fall, if we stumble and fall, he gives us a chance to make it right again. And this is certainly a fairer deal than you'd get from most people here upon the earth. Usually if you make a mistake and cross somebody once, they never give you a chance to do it a second time, but God again and again will forgive us if we come to him with a righteous and contrite heart and truly seek forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. If we do that in accordance with the scriptures, he will forgive us. And again, this is a great blessing for us to think about. Psalms 36, beginning of verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them to drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. We realize that God's blessings are everywhere if we look around and recognize them. And this is nowhere truer than just in nature and going out and looking at the many beautiful things that God has created, and how nature, despite the way man treats it, continues to provide for us. It's amazing that there's the population of the earth just keeps going up, 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 with no signs of slowing down or leveling out, and yet there's still enough to go around. There certainly are people who are starving in different places in the world, and some of this is due to their unfortunate, the places that they're in, but many times this could be helped if people would work together and, again, have a Christian attitude about it. And often, I think, sometimes there's places in India where in Africa where people starve and there's cows walking around because the cow is a sacred animal to them and they won't eat it. And certainly these things cannot be helped, and many people, this is what causes many people to turn a blind eye to religion, because they don't understand that God isn't going to fix every little thing. He's left it up to man. He's given man the earth and everything that's in it, and it's up to man to work together to make things happen and to make things and to help one another. And many times they don't, and people don't understand that. Another scripture that describes this is Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Here Jesus is telling us that the blessings that are found in nature are for all men. When it rains and waters the crops, people who are good, diligent workers, people who are farmers, benefit from that, as well as people who are trying to cheat other people. And the things of nature benefit the good and the bad, so to speak. And sometimes we see in the world where really bad things happen to really good people. And a lot of people have a hard time understanding why God doesn't intervene on these things. And I know of one person myself personally who you could never convince to come to church or read the Bible, because he got the idea in his head about children that starve and things of this nature, and why doesn't God prevent that? And it's a hurdle that he never could get over. And there are many people like that, and we just have to realize that, again, part of this is for man to take care of. God has given us the tools nature provides for us, and if we would learn to work together instead of trying to, if there were governments that would work together and try to help people instead of trying to take over, and everybody wants to be the boss, and we know and realize that if everybody had a Christian nature about them, the world would be a much better place to live in. It'd be a much happier place, and there'd be a lot of people that are suffering now that wouldn't be suffering if everyone would just learn to work together. But it seems to be in man's nature to not act this way, and to be just the opposite of the way it seems that God wants us to be. And as Christians, we're to be, as Dennis, as he brought out this morning, we're to be good examples in the way that we act and the things that we do. We need to be good examples of what God expects his children to be, and to help people as much as we possibly can, and to try to spread a little bit of good in a world that just seems to be keep getting worse and worse. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. One of the greatest blessings that Jesus gives us, that I think, and God gives us, that I think most people don't take advantage of, is peace. We can go to God in prayer. We can make our wants known to him. As Paul wrote here to the church at Philippi, our prayers and supplications, and certainly thanksgiving. I think that's a thing, something a lot of people in the world tend to forget. They think God's somebody you go to when you need something, instead of going to him and thanking him for all the things that we have. And we know that this is very important for us to remember, that all that we have or ever hope to have comes from God. And it's important for us to remember to thank him for the things that we have. And when we go to God in prayer, again, sometimes things happen that we don't always understand. And as we read earlier in Isaiah, the scripture tells us that God's ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth. And we don't always understand why things happen the way that they do. But when we can go to God in prayer and make our wants and petitions known unto him, and accept that his will be done in all things, it gives us an inner peace. It helps us to get over the things that happen that don't always go our way. I think too many people in the world today seem to think that they're the center of the universe and that everything needs to happen the way that they want it to. And as Christians, we realize that regardless of what we want or what we think we want, that God's will is going to be done in all things. And when we accept that and realize that, we can be at peace with ourselves and be at peace with others, and we can have a mode of making it through trials and tribulations that other people don't have and really don't understand and can never really appreciate until they come to know the truth and are able to enjoy those same blessings. John chapter 10, beginning of verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Here Jesus tells us that he has come to give us life, and that we might have it more abundantly, or we may have even more life. And of course, we can relate this to having a good life here upon the earth as Christians, and having a better life in the life to come, an eternity in heaven. And he gives us the means to do that by becoming a child of God through him, and then using the things that he taught when he was here upon the earth, in the Gospels, and of course the instructions that's given to us by the apostles and the disciples in the remainder of the New Testament. When we follow those scriptures that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, we can find the tools necessary not only to have a good life here, but a life that we can't imagine in the world to come in heaven with both God and Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by coming to you again. As Christians, we should rejoice. We should be happy. Again, as we said, many things happen in the world that sometimes we don't always understand, but we have to realize that everything is happens is God's will, and we rejoice in the fact that Jesus was willing to come and die for us, and that we have something to look forward to again in heaven that's greater than anything that we can have upon the earth. Certainly we have goals, we have obligations as people, we have jobs, we have things that we have to do, and we certainly can find peace and enjoyment in those things, but the enjoyment that we're going to have in heaven is more so than anything else. And when we gear our lives towards obtaining that goal, while we certainly can enjoy some of the things that happen in our physical lives, spiritually we can always be rejoicing knowing that we have a chance of going to heaven. Our final scripture this evening will be from Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now we can find this scripture very encouraging, because we realize it's telling us of the abundance, of the exceeding abundance that we have in God by becoming Christians. And we realize the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and all the blessings that we can obtain by taking part in that, and becoming a child of God through our baptism in Jesus Christ. We can begin to become partakers of the great things that he speaks about here, the great blessings that have been made for us. And we realize that we do become partakers of the inheritance, that we become the children of God, and that one day we can look to inherit home in heaven if we do the things that God would have us to do. And all we have to do is follow his teachings and do the things that the scriptures tell us and live the best possible lives that we can. And when we realize the blessings that we have and accept them, we will learn to treasure them, and we will learn to try to share them with as many other people as will partake of them. That brings us to the conclusion of this lesson. As always, we offer the services of the church to those who would. Won't you come while we stand and sing?